If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. There's one verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 that I want to read to you for our text, for the message on this first Sunday evening of 1969. It is a fair reminder that the one whom we serve is one upon whom we can depend. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, after we pause for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit might search our hearts. We thank Thee for this wonderful song that has just been rendered. We thank Thee for the soul-searching question that is asked, because we know that Thou didst ask it of Thy disciples as they were gathered about Thee. And we know, Heavenly Father, that our true measure of love is found in our devotion, in our willingness to serve Thee, and in our daily existence, showing to others through our daily lives that we have been purchased with a price. We are no longer our own. Truly, we must love Thee more than all else. May that be the theme for our lives for this coming year, that we would learn to love Thee more each day. Again, we pray that as we shall read Thy Word, and as we shall think a few moments upon its blessed and wonderful truth, that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that we might give ourselves unreservedly to Thee, as we ask it in the name of Him who loved us, and in His own blood has loosed us from our sins, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that a thrilling thought? To know that the one whom we serve, the one whom we have claimed and owned as our own Savior, never changes. You see, we are living in the midst of a changing world. And these are changing times. Governments change. Schools and institutions of learning change. Fads and fashions change. And I'll sure be glad when some of them change down the other way a little bit. And everything about us is forever and eternally undergoing change. The very earth itself undergoes changes. The pattern of weather undergoes changes. All of these things remind us that if indeed all of nature and all of mankind and all that man does and knows and lays hold upon changes, there must be some cause behind it all that never changes. And I've read it to you in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We have entered upon a new year. We are going to see many changes this year. But we can always come back to God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to witness to our hearts that He who lives on high, He who has created the world and redeemed mankind, and He in whom is our hope, never shall change. I said this morning that I would be speaking from the subject something old and something new. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a few moments. First of all, an old philosophy for new involvements. As we approach the days of 1969, God only knows the involvements that we will be in during these days. No doubt we will undergo and be confronted with some experiences that will baffle us in 1969. Some may break our hearts. Some may cause us to scratch our heads the second time and wonder why and how and when will it end and what is it going to be like. I said a while ago, we are living in the midst of changing times, and our involvements for 1969, whatever they are, find their solution in the old book. Oh, I'm glad for the Bible tonight. That's why I want to challenge you to have an open book in your life in 1969. And make God's Word the number one book. Don't set it aside and read and study everything else first, because you cannot fully grasp and understand other things unless you have some understanding of the Word of God. You see, all knowledge reverts right back to the Scriptures. There is nothing known to man that doesn't have its root, its foundation, its beginning within the Word of God. Now, this might sound a little bit far out, but I believe this, that you can understand mathematics better if you read the Word of God. You can understand science better and history better and English better if you will saturate your mind with the Word of God. These other things will be easily grasped, or more easily grasped. So we find the solution to all of our problems and the answer to all of our involvements for 1969 in God's Word. The old philosophy for a new involvement. Inasmuch as we are human, and we shall be dealing with humans during this year, most of our involvements will be human involvements. You know, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, became man that he might identify with us, that he might reveal God's love and God's concern for us. He became a human, a man without sin. But taking upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, he walked among men, he lived among men, that men might know how to get along one with another. Now, how can we ever get along with God if we don't first get along with men? Human involvements for this year. And God's Word provides a philosophy for every experience that we're going to have. Let us consider the philosophy of the golden rule. Jesus said it, "Whatever you would that men would do unto you, do first unto them." Isn't that a good standard by which we can live? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. What a different world it would be if we would practice the philosophy that Jesus put in motion almost 2,000 years ago. Wouldn't we get along better with our neighbors and friends, the people with whom we work, our families? Wouldn't life be a lot easier and a lot more pleasant? And couldn't we rest a lot better at night if we every day practice the philosophy of the golden rule, doing unto others as we would have them to do unto us? You can't improve on that. That would solve a whole lot of problems before we ever get to them in 1969 if we would just put into practice the philosophy of Jesus Christ. What shall I say about the philosophy of the second mile? Not many Christians know the joy of second mile service. You remember Jesus said, when you've done all that's commanded you, ye are yet unprofitable servants. Who is the man and where is the man that makes advances on his job? Is he the man that punches in right at 8 o'clock and right out at 4? No. If that be the working hours. But the man who is willing to put himself to the task and come early and stay late and go beyond the call of duty is the man who gets the raises and the man who advances on the job, where fair play and fair practice is carried out. What did Jesus mean when he said to his disciples, if anyone asks you to go 1 mile, go with him too? We know that Jesus lived under the authority of Rome. And Jesus was a law-abiding citizen, and he taught his disciples to abide by and to obey the law. And that's something we need in the 20th century, some more of that philosophy. And the Roman soldier, we'll just say, for example, a Roman soldier was on his journey through Palestine. And there he came upon, say, a young boy out in the field. And the Roman soldier is burdened down with a heavy bag, or he has a whole lot of implements with him. All he has to do is to motion to that young boy to come and help him with his bag and baggage, and that boy is obligated to go 1 mile with that Roman soldier. When he goes 1 mile, he has only fulfilled his duty. But Jesus said, if one asks you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. You've gone beyond the call of duty. You need to go. You must go 1 mile. It is incumbent upon you to go 1 mile. But if you love Jesus and love your fellow man, you'll go 2 miles. That's the philosophy of Jesus. And that would solve a whole lot of problems for 1969, wouldn't it? A lot of involvements that we have could be righted, and they could be put in the proper perspective if we were to practice the philosophy of going the second mile. Too many of us are dragging our feet in the first mile. The philosophy of forgiving others would be a wonderful thing to live by in our involvements for 1969. Oh, but somebody says, you don't know what so-and-so has done to me. I just cannot forgive. Then don't you pray and ask God to forgive you, because Jesus said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's just that simple. If you are not willing to forgive those who have wronged you, then God will not forgive you the wrong you've done to him. And Paul put it this way: grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, together with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Life is altogether too short to go through it holding resentments and grudges in our hearts. We cannot live on a high spiritual plane bearing about in our hearts ill will and bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. We must practice the philosophy of Jesus to forgive if we expect God to forgive us. And life will be a whole lot more pleasant. And perhaps our doctor's bills will be a whole lot less. I related to you once before the story about the woman who wanted her husband to buy her something new, and it cost a lot of money. He wasn't able to do it, and she just nagged him and kept on nagging. And finally, he just told her he wasn't going to do it, to shut up and leave it alone, and he wasn't going to do it. So she just built up in her own heart and mind the resentment and accused him of being a tightwad because he wouldn't buy her what she wanted. And finally she ended up in the hospital. And she confided in her doctor and said, I knew I'd get it out of the old skin flint one way or the other. The operation's going to cost him $500. And the doctor says, isn't it a tragic thing that people will allow resentment to ruin their health? And it will. Let's not go through 1969 with feelings of resentment and an unforgiving spirit. Jesus gave us the philosophy of forgiving one another. And what about Jesus' philosophy for our involvements in this coming year concerning judging others? Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. Why will a man, Jesus said, with a beam in his eye, say to another man who has a mote in his eye, say, let me get that mote out of your eye? Jesus said, first of all, you hypocrite, get the beam out of your eye. And then you can see more clearly to get the mote out of the other man's eye. You know the difference between a beam and a mote, don't you? Well, a beam's like a railroad cross tie. And a mote is just a little old thin splinter that you can hardly see with a naked eye. If we'll get the beams out of our eyes, then we can see more clearly to get the mote out of somebody else's. Judge not that you be not judged. The philosophy of loving others would help us in 1969. Jesus said, you've heard that it's been said, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's a turnabout, isn't it? Love your enemies. Sometimes it's hard to love our friends. And with some friends like we have, who in the world needs enemies? You know what, though? If we have our tuning sets tuned to God's throne, we'll find the grace to love those who are unlovable. Jesus said, love your enemies. That is a philosophy which, if we practice in 1969, will put us on a high spiritual plane. Old philosophies, they're all in the old book. I haven't said anything new. I've just given you what Jesus laid down for his disciples and for you and me a long time ago. Now, the involvements that we're going to face in 1969, some of them will be new, but the old philosophy will answer every one of them. What about the philosophy of wise investments? Somebody says, well, how can I best invest my money and my talent and my time and my energy? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said about it. This is his philosophy. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust doth not corrupt, nor moth, nor do thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You don't separate your heart from the thing that you love. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is important for us to meet the needs for our families and for our lives. But eternal things are more important. And let us not neglect the spiritual in favor of the material. Can't we find a happy balance somewhere? And do what God says and put him first and his cause. And Jesus said it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Are you willing to depend upon this old philosophy for the new year? Are you willing to take God at his word and say, whatever the involvements, whatever the experiences, I'm going to trust the old philosophy in the old book? If you do, 1969 will be a very wonderful year with you. Something old, something new. Secondly, we need an old map for the new journey. I like to think of 1969 as being a long journey. With 365 miles. Well, we've already gone 5 miles. And some of us are almost out of gas already. Just 5 miles down the road of 1969. Why don't we just take every mile as it comes and trust God for a sense of direction? You see, 1969 is not mapped out for us. It's uncharted. It's unknown. We don't know which way the road will turn. But we've got an old map that tells us the direction in which to go. An old map for a new journey. Someone wrote this little poem, His Unfailing Presence. Another year I enter, its history unknown. Oh, how my feet would tremble to tread its paths alone. But I have heard a whisper, I know I shall be blessed. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What will the new year bring me? I may not, must not know. Will it be love and rapture, or loneliness and woe? Hush, hush, I hear his whisper, I surely shall be blessed. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I'm willing to claim the promise that Jesus gives me. I will go with thee all the way, even to the end of the age. Over every mile that we travel and in the highway of life, there are going to be some sharp curves, some steep hills, some detours along the way, some dangerous crossings, and say there are going to be some speed zones out there in 1969. And I'm convinced that more than ever before, for this journey of 1969, we need the same guiding star, the same chart, the same map that Abraham needed when he left his home in the Ur of the Chaldees to journey over into the land of Canaan. By faith, Abraham went. You and I can have the same faith in the same God. In fact, we have something on Abraham. We have the written record that Abraham did not have. The map is all painted and printed out for us. All the danger zones, all of the warning signs and signals are there for us. Abraham went one step at a time by faith. You and I, reading the Word of God, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit for a sense of direction in our lives, by faith we can make the journey through 1969. The old map tells us where to start the journey. In any and in all segments of life, we ought to start at the cross. For at Calvary, we get what it takes to live the Sermon on the Mount. Like judge not, forgive, love, invest wisely. All of these philosophies that I talked to you about, Jesus gave them in the Sermon on the Mount. If we begin the journey at the cross, we'll have no trouble when we get over to the Sermon on the Mount. The old map not only tells us where to start the journey, but the old map tells us what speed to travel at. You know, sometimes we have to slow down in this journey of life. And sometimes God has to slow us down. He puts up the warning signs, we don't heed them, and he sends along the Holy Spirit and arrests us along the highway of life. But we can find in the old map the speed that we ought to travel, safe speed. The old map tells us where to turn. Or out there in 1969, there'll be a lot of turns and twists, and the highway will not be a straight road. I don't know which way it's going to turn, but I believe this. I can turn in this book and find the way that I ought to go. And I'm not going to worry about tomorrow and what the turn is going to be. I'm just going to wait until the time comes and expect God to do what he said he was going to do. To take me by the hand and lead me along the way. It tells us where to turn. The old map tells us who our traveling companion ought to be. We ought to take Jesus with us wherever we go. You know, we can in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is with us to guide us and to direct us and lead us, to keep us company all along the way. Our traveling companion must be Christ. And as the songwriter put it, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Or if we must sail the seas, if we must climb the mountains, if we must go through the valleys, what difference does it make if Jesus is with us? With Jesus, we are safe. We are secure. Nothing can harm us. We're in the hollow of his hand. Why should we worry and why should we fret? He's promised to go with us through the journey of life. Down the highway of 1969, you can take Christ with you, the best traveling companion you could ever have. And you know, the old map doesn't stop short. It tells us where our journey is going to end. If death comes, our journey will end in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If the Lord Jesus Christ returns in 1969, the old map tells us we'll still be in heaven, for he's promised to come back for us. He's promised to take us to be with Him. Isn't that a wonderful map? It never stops short. It tells us the end of the way is heaven. And that Christ is going to take us all the way, even into the glory world. Well, I'm going to do all right in a minute. Just don't get nervous. I won't. The end of the way may be nearer than we think. And you know, as the old songwriter put it, and the toils of the road will seem nothing when I come to the end of the way. You know, all the battles we've fought, all the rivers we've had to swim, all the mountains we've had to climb, all of the weary, dreary miles of the journey will be worth it all when we shall see Him at last. One glimpse upon His face will repay all that we've ever experienced along the highway of life. I'm glad we've got the old map. An old map for a new journey. And finally, an old message for a new society. Every new year brings changes in our social order. All kinds of changes that we talked about in the beginning of this message. But you know, if man elevates himself through working hard and his intuition to a higher plane in the realm of wealth or education or learning or science or achievement, his basic needs remain the same. If a man has an income of $100,000 a year or $10,000 a year, he still needs to eat three times a day. If a man has the brain of an Einstein or he's just an ordinary person, he still has to have rest for the old weary body. So man's basic needs remain the same. And man is more than animal and beast. Jesus said it, man shall not live by bread alone. We must have something more. So if our physical and mental and material needs remain the same, is it not true that our spiritual needs remain the same? And we need more in 1969, more than ever before. We need the same old message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this message is a message of redemption. This message is a message of comfort. This message is a message of hope. For you see, our hope is not in getting more in 1969. Our hope is not in seeing our armies marshaled around the world to conquer and capture all the capitals. Our hope is not in Wall Street and in the stock markets. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? It may be sooner than you think. An old message for a new society. I wish that we could tell it out to the world tonight. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ is coming again to receive us unto Himself. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee in these moments, our hearts and minds beat with thanksgiving and gratitude for all of Thy good blessings. We thank Thee for these moments that we've had together to proclaim Thy word. And we ask that as we bring to a close this service, that Thou wouldst send the Holy Spirit into every heart to search out our minds and our thinking, our plans for the coming year. May we not plan anything without first consulting Thee. May all of our plans, may all of our miles of 1969 have Thy blessing and benediction upon them. And help us to realize that we cannot make one step, we cannot breathe one breath, we cannot utter one word, we cannot do one thing without Thee. Help us, we pray, to place our hand in the nail-scarred hand. Help us to put into practice the old philosophy for our new involvements. Help us, Heavenly Father, to consult the old map for our new journey. Help us to preach the old message for a new society. And should there be those tonight who have never trusted Him, may they come to know Him. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need a church home, may they come to identify themselves with this church. Should there be those, dear Lord, who need a prayer of dedication around this altar, may they come. Whatever the needs are, may they be supplied as we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. And with thanksgiving, amen.